Father, I believe that your spirit is with us. I know I'm definite, and I trust your Holy Spirit completely. I have no excitement that is hinged on my abilities to speak or to teach or to preach or to... I don't have excitement around my insight in scripture. My hope is completely hinged on the fact that you are a good God, and is hinged on the fact that you are the one who gathered us together. And so I am in complete trust. I trust your Holy Spirit, and I lean on your Holy Spirit to take us in this journey, and so that we can arrive in the very place where you would wish that we arrived. And so we are latching on to mercy and grace and to the supply of the Spirit. We thank you because you've heard us, and we have prayed according to your will, and then you have heard us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name I prayed.
Amen.
All right, so Genesis 22. You know, after this, I also want you to trust God for strength, you know, so that you have supernatural strength, especially those who are, you know, walking more, you know, who are not just attending, but who are also walking. Ask God for strength, you know, supernatural strength, so that you will do what is better than normal. And I also believe that after these 21 days, we're all going to break into new levels of favor that will increase the prosperity that is allotted to us.
Yeah.
And so I believe those two things, you know, with my heart. So Abraham called the name of that place Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mountain of the Lord it shall be seen. How many of you guys like that song? In the mountain of the Lord it shall be seen. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself I have sworn, said the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son. And so this was where we really, you know, did a lot of business yesterday, where we began to talk about holy losses and God collecting things from us. And then we categorized those losses at different levels, but we looked at it at different headlines from 2 Corinthians chapter 7, where the Bible began to talk about because of these promises. And I think when we looked at this particular scripture, first go back to Genesis 22. We began to see that God began to say, I will bless you and all of that because you have obeyed. You get it? Now, even though in Genesis chapter 12, God just said, come out of your father's house and I will bless you. And it was just a release of promise. And then you'll never really see some serious commandments, so to speak. Eh? But you notice that in 22, we began to now see the reason why. So you see, a promise or a prophecy is an invitation. You see, it's an invitation for God to make you. You see, many times what we think is the most important part of a prophecy is the date of fulfillment. The most important part of a prophecy is not the date of fulfillment, is the person of fulfillment. So when God gives you a prophecy, he calls you in, and he will use that prophecy to engage you in a way where he will make you to become a type of person. Are we together here?
Yes, sir.
So that prophecy is not for your current state. That prophecy is for your walked upon state. So the most important part of it, if you sit down and wait for the date it will be fulfilled, your child will hear the same prophecy after you have gone. Are you together with me? So that's the mistake we make. We get a prophetic word or a prophetic destiny of our lives, and then we just wait for it to come to pass. No, it's not date, it's person. So if God cannot make the person, the prophecy will not come to pass with you. And but it remains in your bloodline, actually. Are we together, friends?
Yes,
and so we see here that so it's not just about the date. The question you need to ask yourself is, am I becoming the person that will receive this fulfillment? So you see, the 25 years that Abraham waited for was that God was making him. Are you together with me? That's why you can be all God has ordained you to be without a prophetic word. I tell you the truth. Change in responding to God is more powerful than excitement over prophecy. Without a prophetic word, you'll fulfill destiny. But with a prophetic word, without change, you won't fulfill any destiny. So a prophecy, you know, introduces you to... So if God says you will be this, there is a you that will be that thing. Then the journey of making you that you now starts. So until you become that person, that prophecy doesn't come to pass. So many times what you think we are waiting on God is that God is waiting on us. Are my friends here?
Yes, sir.
Many times what you think you are waiting on God, it is actually God that is what? That is waiting on us. Glory to Jesus.
Hallelujah.
So that in blessing I will bless thee, multiplying I will multiply you, thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the sea, and thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Now this is not the first time Abraham is hearing this. But it is now being said under a different weight. Am I preaching here?
Yes,
it's as though it has come into activation.
Yes.
And I say, it is because thou hast obeyed my voice. See, when you are studying Abraham, please, I want you to not think you are studying Old Testament. Because our salvation was fathered by him. So it means that he is a model of the faith.
Yes, sir.
Am I preaching here?
Yes, sir.
Are you not children of Abraham?
Yes, sir.
He's the father of faith, which is how we got saved. We have been saved by what? By grace through what? Through faith. Which was what he modeled. And so there is a lot of New Testament pattern from the life of Abraham. Are we together, friends?
Yes, sir.
And so there are things, it says, because you did not withhold your son, thy son. So there are things God wants to collect from us, because those things wouldn't stay, you can't have them and receive Christ. Are you together with me? Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You can't have them and receive Christ. And that was what I tried to use Paul to explain to us about the many losses he had to count so that he might gain Christ. Meaning that some things, you can't have them and have Christ. Are we preaching here?
Yes,
you have to let them go so that you can come into the fullness of God's purpose for your life. And you can come into the fullness of God's promise over your life. So he said, I counted it loss so that I can gain Christ. And you know, that's almost close to what happened in the garden. Immediately, man partook of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The mercies of God pushed him out of it. You see, because he mustn't now partake of life again, so that he's not eternally destroyed. So you can't put those two things together. Are we pretty here? So the reason why God is demanding from you is because he wants to put inside you. And he's saying, let this go so that this can come in. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So there are two levels of things that we need to let go. We see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, which Paul, you know, was the one who taught us this. Are we together, friends?
Yes, sir.
So having these promises, because of these promises, dearly beloved, let us what? Cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of what? The flesh. The filthiness of the flesh are the works of the flesh. Now, the filthiness of the spirit is more deadly. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
It's more deadly. All right, let me give everyone 10 seconds to check your phone. Check your phone. Make sure it's off. If it rings, you'll have to leave the auditorium. So just check it now. Right now, we're pausing for everybody to check your phone. Put it. Anybody whose phone rings will have to just go home. If you know there is a demon that can make it ring even after you put it off, you can just put off the phone. If you don't trust that, maybe a demon will just go behind you and. Then just scatter everything and just. Are my friends here? You that you are putting on your phone like this, see the way you used to shake when you go and do small interview. You put off your phone, almost put off your voice, save you. Are we together, friends? So we need to cleanse ourselves of what? The filthiness of what? Of the flesh. Huh? And then cleanse yourself of the filthiness of the spirit. These two stuffs will hinder us from fullness. Eh?
Yes,
and it is in fullness that God is made manifest. To hinder you from fullness. So we need to deal with filthiness of the flesh. Now, the way the filthiness of the flesh operates is sowing and reaping. If you sow to the flesh, that's how it operates. It's sowing. So to deal with the filthiness of the flesh, you have to check all the channels where you are sowing to the flesh. Whenever you sow to the flesh, it's hypocrisy to still be saying, God, help me. So you need to find out where you are sowing. That's where the flesh is doing business. Is where am I sowing to the flesh? Which is the things that I hear, the things that I see, and the environment that I stay. If you can manage these three things, you are going to hit the flesh a big blow. If you don't manage these three things, your flesh will reign. You see, and when your flesh reigns, you are not going to sit on any throne. You know what I mean by throne? You will never come into the fullness of God's calling over your life. You need to deal with the filthiness of the flesh. What you see. Ah. It's me, Satan wants to. Should I go out of the church? It's not me, it's Jane's voice that, Abike's voice is. Somebody is singing there. I don't know who the person is. Praise God. So, if you can deal with this, deal with sowing. If you can cut sowing, if you stop the business, you have to stop the business. You understand? If you do the business, you will profit. Are you together with me? If there's anything, Satan might not want you to profit in your business. He might not want you to profit in your career. He might send demons to make sure profiting doesn't happen. But I tell you, Satan is in support of you profiting in the flesh. He will support you. If you sow to the flesh, you are not going to reap spirit. Never. You will not make loss. You will harvest corruption. Huh? For he that... Now, I like the way this scripture is carved. The way the scripture is carved is that no one can mock God. That word... Let's check it. God cannot be mocked. I think that's the previous verse. Huh? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So this is an ordinance. It's a law. It's a spiritual law that is not breakable. And that it says God is not what? Mocked. So what he's saying is that if you can't tell God otherwise, God checks the business you are doing. And by that business, he knows what you want. So he's saying, if you are doing business with the flesh, stop telling me you don't want flesh. You can't deceive me. And don't deceive yourself. Are we together here? So you have to create a system of an established system of starvation for the flesh. You have to starve flesh. It must be a system that works, that you have installed in your life, that starves flesh. You starve the flesh. Now, you can't pray to God to help you do this one. You have to do it by yourself. The starving of the flesh. Of course, the more spiritual capacity you have, spiritual capacity increases your resolve to starve the flesh. Are you together with me?
Yes, sir.
So what do we need to do? To starve the flesh. So you need to find out, ask yourself, where am I doing business? So you now practically, consistently introduce, you defund that business. You what? You defund the business. It's just like a young 18-year-old lady, you know, having a boyfriend. You know, that's sowing to the flesh. She's sowing to the flesh. What will she reap?
Corruption.
Now, even though during worship she can say, Lord, I love you. But God is saying, no, they want me. That's the meaning of God is not mocked. You are sowing to the flesh. Huh? That's sowing to the flesh. And then we are going to report corruption. There are movies that you are watching that you are going to make profit from it. Yeah. There are some movies, some series that you sit down to watch. You are going to receive harvest because you are sowing to what? To the flesh. You now watch it from 10 p.m. to 3 a.m. Then when you sleep, you are trusting God for an encounter. God is not what?
No.
God is not mocked. You say, ah, God, as I'm sleeping, let Gabriel just appear. You understand? You watch film from 10 to what? To 10 p.m. to 3 a.m. And you're expecting to be firebrand. You know, you can't be firebrand. You'll be water corporation. I wonder what that is, you. Abi?
Yes, sir.
I wonder what that is. Agbatidi.
Yes, sir.
We can't deceive ourselves anymore.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
And you are too old for this rising and falling that you are doing. Behaving as if it's a mistake. It's harvest, you are just enjoying. Ah?
Yes, sir.
So you see, it must get to that point where flesh doesn't like you because it knows it suffers around you. You have to practice starving the flesh. Whatever area you notice that, because we all have different specializations of flesh. And one person's specialization is not another person's specialization. So if you copy the way somebody else is living, he might be living that way because that area is his own strength. And that one is your destined weakness. And you are behaving like that person. So you have to deal with the flesh. One of the ways to deal with the flesh is to control your appetite. Food. Gluttony is not a good, spiritual state. Because if you can control food, you can control many other things. So it's not really about the food. Is about developing the character for self-control. You get the point? So you must make a decision to not overeat. Any eating that you become wasted is not the will of God for you. There are other things that you won't control if you can't control food. You understand? Because you are royalty. You understand? You can't eat as though you are prophesying that it's the last one. You understand? As if you heard the word that this one you are eating, you will not eat another one. You can't eat that way. Don't you think so? You can't eat that way. You must respect yourself. You know, and don't disrespect. You know, don't disrespect your body. It's a temple of God. You understand? Your body is not like a drum that we are packing things inside the dustbin. You get the point? So you must eat in a way where you can still do life. Do you understand? Because you shouldn't eat, and when there's war, you just know you are dead because you can't run. Are we together here?
Yes, sir.
So you have to check, you have to do an audit of your life and find out everywhere you are sowing to the what? To the flesh. And then begin to starve it. Praise God. And that was the premise of the SU revival, and that was why it was a very glorious revival. The SU revival dealt with flesh. Ah, they dealt with flesh. Ah, yeah, yeah, yeah. They went all out. They went all out for flesh. You see, once in a while, you need to go and get Papa Kumuyi's message and install it in your soul. You need it. You see, you don't need to be trained to be mad. You don't need training for madness. What you need for madness is to leave yourself alone. You will grow towards madness. Anything left alone runs mad. If you leave a house alone, will it be more beautiful?
No.
It will turn to madhouse. Like nobody entered. You will think because nobody used it, it will be fine. But if you leave a house long enough, you will find out it will be mad. So if you leave yourself, what will happen to you? You will run mad. I tell you the truth. So sometimes you need to go and get all those, it's not every time you listen to, it doesn't matter what you are going through. You need to go and listen to. You need to go and get it. Put it inside your system. You need to put it in your system. There must be sorrow somewhere. You understand? There must be sorrow. You must be sober. There must be, you have joy in the Lord, there is soberness of the spirit. You must have it. It's not every time chocolate. Sometimes you need lime so that you will not vomit. Are you together with me?
Yes, sir.
So one of the things that revival had was that dealing with the flesh. They starved the flesh. When everybody was watching TV, they threw away their own TV. You get the point? And then the devil already knows about that, so he decided to put our TV in our hands. So even though you think you have covered, you have conquered TV, it's not true. Your TV is with you. It's in your hand. It's in your hand. And so you also have to make sure that you are controlling it. Are you together with me?
Yes, sir.
Because that is the headquarters of flesh.
Yes,
I don't know if you want me to tell you a lie so you can be happy.
No, sir.
That's the headquarters of what?
Flesh.
But that's where flesh is. The MD, the CEO, all of them, they are there. That's, they wake up in the morning with tie, they do business, everything. And then they sell market to you, you know, every day. Immediately you pick it, they sell one market, they sell another market. Am I preaching here?
Yes, sir.
So God be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, he shall also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let's go back to our scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, then we're going to go back to Genesis, and then I'm sure God will help us. So, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. Now, the filthiness of the flesh is usually very obvious. But the filthiness of the spirit, the filthiness of the spirit is the senior brother of filthiness of the flesh. That filthiness of the spirit, only God and spiritual people that can dictate it. The border around attitude, they border majorly around motif. Come. Do you know that Holy Spirit is called Spirit?
Yes.
Is that not true?
Yes, sir.
What is the motif called? Spirit. Motif is also called Spirit. Motif is also called what?
Spirit.
Spirit. Have you heard someone say, what is the spirit behind that is action?
Yeah.
Both is spirit. So that motif, what it does is that it takes the role of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is meant to be your motif, but a motif can be your motif. That wrong motif can be your spirit. Instead of the Holy Spirit to be the spirit of why you do what you are doing. It's very powerful. Very powerful. Because at this level, you can deceive everybody. That's why a lot of us, when we read the book of David and Saul, we used to be surprised. I say, what did Saul really do like that? The truth is, David was worse than Saul, if we want to tell ourselves the truth. David used to shock me. I don't know. Before, it's not easy for me to forgive David. It's not really. I behave as if I'm forgiving him, but his loyal guy, he killed that guy. Killed the guy. And took the guy's wife. He first took the guy's wife and killed him. That's serious. That's mega flesh. let's go there. Let me show you something there. That's while. Give me the whole story. Let's. Are you blessed tonight?
Yes, sir.
Verse 1. And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. Are you together with me? You see, a lot of us appreciate the battles and the crisis that comes in the season of poverty and struggle. And you are not aware that a greater one comes in the seasons of prosperity. And if there's something we have not trained people for, is the temptation that prosperity brings. And that's why there are some temptations if you are not overcoming as a poor person. If as you pour like this, you see the chase woman, you don't get money, you're the chase woman. You don't get money, you see the chase woman. You are gone. You are dead, man. Because there's a level of prosperity you get to that you know go chase woman. Now woman go chase you. Right now, they know they chase you. You are chasing them. What will happen when they chase you? You don't understand? Chase you with all the guts. If I'm saying you will be blessed, I'm also saying to you, this thing I'm saying will happen.
Yeah.
Because it comes with a blessing.
Yes, sir.
Where woman go chase you, go beg you with her life. Yes. It is saying that like this, it will be forever. Praise God. So if you cannot, may you use your poverty to perfect your personality. You use it to conclude on who you are. If you have not decided who you are in the days of poverty, that's why I believe that one of the reasons for money, this is a very carnal thing I want to say. Don't judge me. One of the reasons for money as a man is that money is used to turn your wife to your temptation. After 2 minutes, it will sink in. That lust you have inside it, you now use the money to turn her. You create her to your lust. If you're having that kind of lust, you use money to build. Okay, what do I like? I like this. Okay, how can we use funds too? One day I was on the internet, and I saw one woman on the internet, one Yoruba woman, she was cooking. And there was a way the clothes she wore. The thing tampered with my brain. So I quickly scrimmunched that cloth. I sent it to Sophia. I said, make 3 of this. 3 of different colors. So she made 3. So she thought it's just love. No. It's not only love. I said, that temptation, let's redirect it. I made 3. So I was giving her 1 per day. I already have the 3. I did not give the 3 at once. If I give the 3 at once, the happiness will be once and for all. I gave her 1 today. And I told her, this is what I want you to wear every night. Every night. Anybody that visits us that think you are not properly dressed should go to their house. I don't know the Bible verse for this one, but to do. I don't know the Bible verse, but I don't even know how I got to this trip. Use your poverty to to conclude, because it will come. Prosperity will come. Don't think prosperity is only used for gospel. It also works for other things. And I tell you, there are many things you are not aware that you want to do. Because your bank account cannot allow you to meditate in that line. You can't meditate in that line. Do you know that your soul can suddenly like South African accent? As a man. And you just feel like having a South African friend for that accent. Right now, you can't imagine it because you have not successfully gone from Ojodutu and Okpaja. It's hard. Let's go to the Bible. You just... I love, there's something about Africans. And then you just go and just want, what are those, their names? You just want one South African friend. Yeah. Iwe. Nehiwe. I'm fine. Iwe. And before you know, you are gone. Yeah. You can just be amazed at Moroccans. I said, how did God create these Moroccan girls? You say, come to Lagos. Just come. Just spend 3 days in Lagos. Yeah. You say, come. I've already paid for Mario. Just be there for 3 days. How's Morocco? I wish you understand what I'm saying. See, that thing called trying to use words to get a woman's attention, words, like, you know, that thing, you are using it to augment for your poverty. Those words can be said. There's a way a shirt can say all those things, all those being romantic. There's a shirt and a shoe and a kind of wristwatch. It has said everything. You are not at that level. You are not talking. You are not. So all this poem that you think you need to do poem for three months before a guest start talking to you. Are you fast, Morocco? Now, just, I want you to come. You will tell me about your president. And say, I love to talk about my president. You will be listening and say, all right, that's good. Don't worry, I've sent a driver that I'll take. I'm not available for now, but I will see you in the next 5 days. So just have fun and explore the city. So you need to decide who you are already. And you can't know. That's what God is waiting for. God, some of you, God has not brought it yet. Because he already sees, he can see your coffin, he can see everything. He knows the exact place you'll be in hell already. He knows if he brings it, he knows your location in hell, who you will be beside, it's already concluded. So God said, we can't drop, let's be releasing it small. If we drop it at once, this guy is done. Ordinary good car can increase your temptation, your possibility. Ordinary good car. Because with good car, you can be hungry at home. You can drive out. Before, you couldn't drive out. Because you don't want to go into Danfo, you don't want to drive out. You say, please, woman, let me rest. Because you cannot fund another place to go and rest. Yeah. So all this one that you think you love to be at home is because you must be at home. About some years ago, I was walking on the road, had an encounter with the Lord on the main road. And God said, son, my blessing is now upon you. Who you will now be after my blessing is your choice. He said, it's now upon you. That one is you. It's you. And there is no end to the flesh. You'll keep going down. I'm going down. After a while, you can just say, maybe try 5 people at the same time. Is there no party where all they will be doing is just, let's go and just say, okay, I just want to watch. You will just be thinking different ideas. So all the things that you think you cannot do now, just calm down. You are not yet sure. So you need to conclude who you are now. Conclude who you are now. And you can't know. Yes, you can. The Bible says we can train up a child in the way he should go. When he grows, he will not depart from it. You know, it's this scripture we're looking at. So as it came to pass, after the year was passed, at the time when kings... Now, did David try this when he had not gotten the kingdom? It's always at the war front. Everything don't set now. When kings go to war, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still. The big boy. Those are pastors who don't pray again. They'll be upstairs in the office during prayer meeting. During worship, they're upstairs. When it's 10 minutes to when they will preach, they will now come down like the angels and minister. Not knowing that it's the volume of prayers and worship that you have done that gave you the anointing. And now you have dropped the practice that grew you. When you drop the practice that grew you, you have created for yourself an expiring date.
Yes, sir.
You will expire very soon. Let's see verse 1 again. And they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David tired still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in the evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, is it not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her. Praise God. But my point is that many times we're not even trained to understand the challenges that comes with prosperity. A lot of challenges come with prosperity. And then you can't make those decisions in prosperity. You must have made them before it came. And said, This is who I am. And it has to be strong. It has to be deep. Those conclusions have to be very what? They have to be very deep. One of my mentors was showing me his friend. They're both preachers. That friend now relocated to the U.S. His friend, I mean a preacher, a vibrant preacher. If I mention his name, everybody here knows the person. His friend went to the U.S. And now told me to Google that his friends, they mentioned that his friends, they said, Google it. He told me, after telling him the story, he said, put it on Google. I put the friend on Google. I saw him with handcuff and his prison uniform mugshot. Because the guy went down to the point where he went so down that the amount of money he stole was fraud. Millions of dollars is everywhere on Punch, on this thing. It was, and we were friends. We were both co-preachers. So he's born again. But that's how down we can go. You get what I'm talking about? If you don't quickly conclude on who you are. You have to conclude on who you are, make a quick conclusion, publicly announce, and forget about it. Throw away the key. Praise God. You throw away the key for life. Me, I'm SU for life. And it's good to be SU. You see, don't be a trending Christian. It doesn't last. Choose SU. Huh?
Yes, sir.
Choose SU. Don't do SU. Your own version of what?
SU.
Of SU. You know, all of us have their version of SU. You do SU. Don't do hip-hop-ry. It does not last. You do your SU. And say, this thing, I don't need it. This one, I don't need it. One of my mentors was telling us after they had some new messages when they were in their younger age, in their early 30s. And in that message, they began to criticize a lot of things. They said Christians are just being religious, that the Bible did not say they should not drink wine. It said so sometimes they used to go out to club, or they'll just say, go there. That's where the souls are. Go there. He said, it was mentioned in the class, how they used to go. They said, what is important is that you don't get drunk. He said, all his colleagues was not mentioning their name. He said, this one is not plating air somewhere. He said, this one is not doing gay somewhere. This one is not. All of them have left the faith. Because they were trying to be trendy, they were trying to fit in.
Yes,
I try not to look so, so out of place, You understand? And people already know that you are a child of God. Even your dance step is not more, it's no more walking. Because the new dance steps now, you are still dancing Tupac dance step. So we need to deal with the futility of what? Of the flesh. Now the futility of the spirit, the filthiness of the spirit. You see, you need two things to deal with it. The first one you need is sincerity. Because it is the Holy Spirit that will make you aware of it. Am I preaching here? Now, don't forget, I'm teaching you life in the spirit. You need sincerity. Because there are going to be a lot of things that people are not going to see. But the Lord will let you know that this is why you are doing what you're doing. And when you don't repent and change your ways, you're already grooming another spirit. You are giving another spirit governance over your life. Are we together here? Now the futility of the spirit is dangerous. Is deadly. Because sometimes when people carry this, when people operate in the filthiness of the spirit, you see, sometimes it can get to a point where they look like they're advertising God. And when the people come in, but when you get closer and you follow whatever they are doing, you'll find out behind all of it is what? It's self and flesh. Yeah. Filthiness of the spirit can operate in the choir. Yeah. Yeah. Where you think you are better than another person, someone else. It's just an evil motive. It's just a motive that is not godly, that governs everything that you're doing. It's dangerous. I tell you, the Lord hates it. The Lord what? The Lord hates it. As when I met the Lord as a teenager, my first lesson in the school of the Spirit, first, is sincerity. The Lord told me and taught me about sincerity, and I'm grateful that that's my first lesson, because it's in the foundation of my spiritual DNA. Sincerity is there. When you are sincere, God can always help you. When you're not sincere, God can't help you. God would desire to help you, but he will be unable to help you. So you have to learn sincerity. You have to speak to yourself. You have to always tell yourself the truth and agree to the truth and repent. So what Saul did not have was that sincerity. His spirit was filthy. And that is how we perfect holiness. In what? In the fear of God. Now this is how we step into the promises of our lives. Are we together here? Now, why is all this possible? Well, why is all this necessary? All this is necessary because when God puts something on you that advertises or announces you, God wants that when people come and get closer to you and trace the spirit of that thing, the end of that, when they get to the end of that thing, they should find God. But when God puts something on you and people come to that thing and find out the end of that thing is self or flesh, it's counterproductive for the kingdom. Are we preaching here?
Yes, sir.
Are we preaching here?
Yes, sir.
This was what wasted Lot's life. Where your uncle told you to choose. And you lifted up your eyes and chose the one that is green and all of that. And that's how he messed himself up. And the man's soul was tormented for life. They vexed the guy's life in Sodom. We have to be sincere. We have to be truthful people. Are you together with me? Women, when your husband says you have done something wrong, don't remember what he did wrong. When he's saying that you have done something wrong. You know that thing? Men, have you ever found yourself trying to correct a woman and eventually you end up apologizing? Huh? Like you say, you know, I don't like this natural done. And in the end, you say, I'm sorry. That's not being sincere. And that's been, and you see, so you can understand how deep that is. That thing that you think is a normal thing is not a normal thing. No. It's actually an evil spirit. Yeah, it's filthiness of the spirit. Where somebody is apologizing to you and you know the person should not be. And you can retain, and you know the real issue and you can just... No. You can't be like Christ that way. And you can't step into your promises. Women, when your husband says you have done something wrong and you know you have done something wrong, Don't hide like worm and try to look for escape route. You won't die. When you are wrong, the punishment for being wrong is not death. Stop acting like if you agree that you are wrong, you will just suddenly die. No. No, when you have been caught on your tracks, you apologize and repent. And don't raise what happened in 1814 when Lord Lugard met your husband. The day Lord Lugard met you, what did you tell Lord Lugard? Was I not the one that was telling you this? Even you too, did you? No, that's not what we're talking about. You have to be sincere. Is this making sense?
Yes.
You have to be sincere. Now, when you are sincere, God cannot help you. And I say, I'm very wrong. I missed it. I was wrong. What I did wasn't right. And I think the reason I did this thing that wasn't right is because I wanted to be corny. You should be able to call yourself out. I say, I think I was trying to be corny there, and you got me, Joma Bino. Then the glory of God will visit you, and the operation can now happen, and take away that corniness. Because the Bible talks about how. If we confess our sins. Huh? No. He that covers his sin shall not prosper. If you cover it, you will not enjoy prosperity. So when it is uncovered, don't try to cover it. Don't enjoy a victory when truly you lost. Don't create false victory for yourself. When you know you are wrong, don't change the narrative. You are now right. That means you have sown a seed that you will harvest. You will harvest something very crazy, very serious. And you are turning yourself to someone who doesn't look like Jesus. You know, the most important thing is not to be right. Yeah. The most important thing is to be like Jesus.
Yes, sir.
And agreeing that you are wrong is more righteous than appearing right when you are wrong. Am I making any sense?
Yes, sir.
See, can I talk to you?
Yes, sir.
Because the Lord is asking me to emphasize this thing. Nobody, hear me. No human being can put you to shame. Never be afraid of shame. I tell you the truth. Shame. Shame is a lie. Shame is a lie. Shame is the threat of hell. A lot of us hide because of fear of shame. But I tell you, God will never allow you to be put to shame. You don't have to cover yourself. You many times think that if I'm naked, shame will swallow me. It's a lie. When you are naked, God will cover you.
Yes.
I tell you, never be afraid of shame. And anytime you want to walk in the gospel, it looks as though you are being at risk for shame. But Paul taught us another way to handle it. He said, for we are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It was a counter scripture of how the enemy makes us feel like we would experience shame if we go Jesus' way. He said, but we are not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it is the power of God. I want the power of God.
Yes.
I don't want to have a fake righteousness.
Yes.
It's better I'm naked and get God's covering.
Yes.
Than cover myself and truly be naked. Don't you think so?
Yes, sir.
For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God to all of them that believe. Unto salvation to everyone that believes. I believe the gospel.
I believe the gospel.
I said I believe the gospel.
I
said, I believe the gospel. See, I do not put faith on myself, because even my righteousness is filthy rag. So I don't have to make you think I'm the best guy. No. When you see my failure, I'm going to tell you that's what it is, what it is. You have seen it. I'm sorry. That's just me. I'm not as good as you imagined. Eh? Then you qualify for power. That when God is done with you, people will now see you and see Christ.
Yeah.
Are we together here?
Yes, sir.
See, when you are wrong, don't try and look right. You will remain in your state. So can you see that when I'm talking futility of the flesh, it's very obvious. Futility of the spirit is not obvious. It's only you and God that know about it. And after a while, it's only God. Because you will now become disillusioned. Yeah. After a while, you become disillusioned. If you don't repent quickly, you begin to believe lies. Yeah, you begin to believe lies. You will lose your spiritual sense. You begin to believe a lie and you become a liar. You know that's somebody's office. He says you are like the father. The devil is a liar. What does that mean? The devil doesn't have space for truth. It doesn't have space for truth. It doesn't have any space for what? For truth. He just goes contrary to what is of God. It goes contrary. Anything that is of God, it will go what? It will go contrary. So immediately God wanted Jesus to die. He just brought him to the earth. You know, Satan will fall into the trap. I don't know if you got that. He will kill him. He's devil. He cannot control himself. It's a father of lies. Oh, Akpa. And that's what they wanted him to do. Are we together here? So we need to deal with these things. These two things. If you can deal with these two things, eh, there will be holy traffic in your soul. Then he will now... You see, when you have dealt with this thing, anytime you speak, God will say yes. God will appear. Yeah. God will say yes. Because you now become represent. You have... There is flow in your soul. There is ease of traffic inside. That's why you hear the apostle talk about things like, I tell you the truth, my conscience bearing me witness. That's purity inside. Huh? Yes. Purity inside. Oh my goodness, I ask my Father in heaven to heal you of crookedness of the soul. Yes. I ask my Father to heal you of it. Yes. Because a lot of us don't even know how damaging it is. How damaging it is. I'm trusting God to heal your soul of crookedness. Yes. Of smiling and frowning. You know, some people can smile outside and frown inside. He said they draw near with their mouth, but in their heart they are far. Those are crooked souls. Crooked. Crooked. There are crooked husbands, crooked, and his crooked wives, and it's because of this filthiness of the spirit. Confusionists, you know, they are confusionists. That's the state of their soul. When they go to a place, they confuse everything. When they enter any place, people will start getting angry at each other. This one will fight this one, and they are the center of it. And they can even behave like a victim. No. They are not on the street. Or some of them are here. Some of you are like that. I'm talking to you. I'm not preaching to your enemies. I'm preaching to you. Because usually when people come to church, the pastor behaves as if all the people in the church are the good people and the enemies are outside. I say, anybody saying you will not get there dies. But the person too is saying somebody will not get there. Is in your church? You have to deal with that. I tell you the truth. God wants us to deal with this thing I'm talking about tonight. That's what he meant when he says, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. He's talking about a soul that is straight. That you don't have to sway. Why? Because there is truth inside you. There is no need for sway. Let your what? Your yea be yea. And the Bible spoke about our God. It says his promises are what? Yea and amen. It means that when God says something, it doesn't mean something else. Let our yea be yea. And our nay be what? Be nay. Purity inside. Straight inside. Not trying to protect yourself. Are my friends here?
Yes, sir.
Are my friends in this room?
Yes, sir.
We have to deal with that. Not relating with people with an ulterior motive. You want gain, but you act like you don't want gain. Some of you, even just to call someone, all you want is toothpick. But you will greet the person in a way that as though you have really missed the person. But now said the purpose of the mobile unit. Now, this is the toothpick you really want from the person. Why not just call and say, my brother, this is why I'm calling you. And say it directly. And don't be okucha. Don't. Which one of you through worry can add one cubit to your stature? Which one of you through cunningness can bring prosperity to your life? Bible says the blessings of the Lord makes rich and hard. So God can bless. He can make you a king. He picks from the dunghill and puts on the throne. Are you together with me, friends? No more corniness. No more lies.
Yes,
I said no more lies.
Yes,
no more no more protecting ourselves and trying to appear like we're the best people in the world. Especially to the people who love us. And these are the issues that don't allow God manifest in our midst. This is why we have all carried everything to the anointing and to the gift. Because you are wowda. You don't need good you are for anointing and gift to flow. But if you want the presence of God to be in a place, you have to have a good heart. The presence flows from heart. Anointing flows from the head. It flows. But the presence flows from the heart. So we have to be good people. We have to be what kind of people? Good people. I don't mean perfect people, I mean good people. Now let's rush to Genesis 22. We have some few minutes and then we're going to hit it hard. Why are you doing as if you're angry, as if I abuse you or something? I did not call your name. Now, what's all this frowning for? Did I call your name? Ask your name, but did the pastor call your name? The pastor call your name. Yeah. I did not call your name now. Okay, I'm sorry. Oh my goodness, let's all shout hallelujah. So I have talked about I finished the conversation around as not withheld thy son, thy only son, right?
Yes, sir.
Give me your attention. I have just like 20 minutes, you know, to hit the climax I want to hit. And to hit the points God will have me. That in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. All right? And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. All right? So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba. So the Bible says that Abraham, you know, returned to his young men. But when you read the book of Galatians, you began to see that Paul made us to understand that seed that God was saying that the old nations will be blessed through Abraham, it's not Isaac. And it's not all of Abraham's children. And the argument of Paul was that if God was talking about a lot of children for Abraham, that the seed would have been plural. Praise God. He said, but in that he said seed, he said he was talking about Christ. Are we together here?
Yes, sir.
Now listen to this point. You see, because sometimes we have the assumption, you see, that life is just about tangible things. But life is, the mind of God is beyond tangible things. I need to learn a very important point that you must train your soul to begin to appreciate things that are not tangible. You see, because the things that are not tangible are the things that perpetuate continuity. You see, if a divine generation is going to continue, it will continue on the premise of the intangible, not on the premise of the tangible. For example, if a move of God is going to last, it's not based on the size of the auditorium that move was able to build. If we build a 5,000 or 1,000 or 10,000 capacity auditorium, it does not assure that the essence of that move will remain in the next 20, 50, 100 years. That move must be able to pipe down and download the mantle that produced the move. And then it is that mantle that will continue. Are you preaching here? You remember that John came in the spirit of Elijah. He didn't need to inherit the school of the prophets that Elijah had. If he carries the spirit of Elijah, then he can continue the purposes of God. Are you together with me? So you see, oh God, help us, give us understanding. So you see that the promise over your life goes beyond a good natural life. That the promise over your life are inched on even matters. Say, yeah. Matters that even you cannot currently comprehend.
Yes.
That if God wanted to explain it to you, you cannot understand. I'm saying that there is something you are doing now that is going to allow a 10-year-old boy in the next 50 years have a particular encounter and is relating to how you lived now.
Yes.
There is a baby in heaven right now that God is going to release on the premise of how you live life now. That so everything, not everything is on the level of profit and loss. Not everything is Oluwa je ki mi na lo moti mo le ran ise. Not everything has those natural reasons behind them. Some things have eternal consequences. Let me give you, I believe you trust me that I won't tell you a lie. Some years ago, about 6 years ago, I've shared this story with everybody, but I'll share it again. I was in my room, in my house, in my bedroom, and suddenly, whether in the spirit, whether in the flesh, I don't know. But suddenly, I found myself at my closet. And at my closet, three men appeared to me. They only had heads. I could see them from here to here. From here to here, I couldn't see them. It was a strange encounter. And then they just came to bless me. And then what shocked me in that encounter, is not dream, is not vision. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. Maybe the spirit took me from my bed to that place, but that was where I was. I don't know what it is. And when they were going to start blessing me, they started by saying that you. Because when I was going to get married to Pastor D, Pastor D's father and Pastor D's grandfather was with Apostle Babalola, with him. They had the engagement. Yeah. So they had real core CAC family. And when I was going to start church, when I was going to marry Pastor D, the father did not give us one problem at all. It was as though they even knew our purpose more than us. They were so sure, they were so confident, you know, because it's a prophetic family, you know. And I remember one day the Lord was saying, he's about to start a church, a small church. The father said, if I hear you say small church, that's not what we saw. It's not a small church. It's a giant church. That's when we had not even started a church at all. And so he was now telling me that this church I want to start, that I should please make it CAC. And I was telling me how the last final revival is going to start from CAC, all those. He now said, no, now there are different type of CAC, that there's a CAC that you'll be under the CAC. This is another one that you are just going to use the name, but you'll be doing running your thing. Now CAC is where the last revival is coming from. I should not miss this revival. So I laughed small. I said, okay. You know, the way people who want to marry used to deceive. We don't need to express what's in our heart completely. So we don't know why you will say that. So after the encounter, I laughed. I said, me, apostolic guy, you can't believe in this experience. The man told me, your wise father in Yoruba, your wise father said you should do, you were laughing at Tosabi. They were actually the spirits of just men that were from CAC. They were CAC elders that came to me. And they said, well, Sha, you know, Sha did not make your choice CAC, so we have Sha come to bless you. And that's how they blessed me. And they left. So it must mean that one of the reasons for this marriage is to connect that thing. And whereas we are thinking we are falling in love, but it had eternal consequences. Now, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He seeth not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So the conversation was child, but the consequences is Christ. May you not know carelessness. The conversation is, sometimes you think the conversation is just casual, but it has eternal consequences. So when God was saying, through thy seed, the whole earth will be blessed, he was talking about Christ. How he was going to purify Abraham's lineage, and Christ was going to come out from that lineage. So this experience of Abraham was going to be relevant thousands of years later and thousands of years till eternity. Till eternity. So if when Abraham is saying, mi velu zomomi, ni lokpa momi o, olomai ka kwa mo, he's thinking physical. Not knowing that the consequences are eternal. You can only know what God is saying. You cannot comprehend why he's saying it. When you want to measure your obedience by trying to understand the why, you are going to make a mess of it all. You can only know what he's saying. You can never know what why he's saying. So our lives carry such weight. There are some of you that the demands of purity God is placing upon you is connected to the seed that is meant to come out of you. Because there is a way God is purifying you that will affect the quality of child you will bear. Because there is something, there is a destiny hinged on your child's life. And you don't even know that your child might be God's plan to save Australia. And is trying to get you right so that you can father such a child. Do you know Jesus must come through a virgin? So for Mary, keeping her virginity was not just to be a good girl. It was to prepare a place for the Savior to come. So when God tells Mary, don't mess up. Mary should not try and find out why. Because she can never comprehend the why. She can never comprehend the why. Are my friends here? I'm just telling you there is eternal consequence. Your life has a relevance. That is more than 24 hours. Your life has a relevance beyond time. Your life has a relevance that you will watch from heaven. That is the reason why we have clouds of witnesses. It's because they have shown something they must watch. That's why they don't go to heaven to rest. They go to heaven to continue watching the progress of their works. Hey. And so to think that your life only is earth-based is deceiving yourself. No, it's not. It's more than that. Oh. Oh. Because of these things, Anna couldn't have affection for another man. Because God needed an intercessor that will make sure Jesus comes. I'm talking of Anna that was at the intercessor. That, you know, people were saying she's wasting her time. She was never wasting her life. It means that woman not feeling like marrying, you might be pitying her, but there is an eternal work that she's doing. And she just kept praying for Jesus. And until her prayers was complete, Jesus will not come.
There was a volume of prayer that was needed for the Messiah to come. And she dedicated, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. There is eternal consequence. There is a connection with what we are doing and the whole of Europe. God is saving Europe from Africa, from Ojodu. You think there's no connection? There's connection. There is connection with what you are doing and your unborn children. If we don't do this right, it's possible the seed inside you will be gay. It's possible the seed inside you will be on the walkway as gay if we don't do what we are doing, if we don't do it right. There's consequences. And this consequence is eternal. And so we can't behave as though we know why. We don't know why. It's more than what you think. You don't know why. There is a reason. Mordecai told Esther, he said, not a cause. That is a reason. And so you cannot know what is profitable with physical eyes. You can only judge profit when your spiritual eyes open. Friends, now we talk about Anna every time. How she prayed and did not marry. Now it's worthy of conversation and preaching. But in her day, it was a thing of reproach. She went through reproach in her day, but in the spirit, she was registering her name as a warrior. She was registering her name as one of the people who made it possible for our Savior to come to the earth. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Oh Lord, deliver me from bread and butter. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? What moved Ruth? Why did Ruth risk her life that way? What moved her? Why did she risk her life that way? Why did she go just like Hopper went away? What made her risk her life? She had a risk. She risked her life. The possibility of never marrying again existed. Why? And the reason was because she was able to latch on to another reality. She said, somehow I just want your God to be my God and your people. The spirit moved her differently. And she connected Boaz. And the connection to Boaz was not a marital miracle. It was so that Jesus can come about 2-3 generations. Are you together with me? It was Jesus that was about to be born and a woman's life was looking like it was being messed up. No, it was not being messed up. It's being glorified. What you call mess sometimes is glory. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? This life cannot be ordinary. Yeah. It can't be about salaries. No. It can't be about salaries. No. It can't be about marriages. It can't be about that. There is more. My brother, there is more. My sister, there is more. And that more is in your belly. It's in your belly. It's in what the Spirit is saying. The witness is inside you. Korabia.
There's a witness in my belly. It flows like a river. A witness in my belly. It shows me the way to go. A witness in my belly. It flows like a river. A witness in my belly. It shows me where to go. A witness in my belly. It flows. like a river, a witness in my belly. It shows me where to go. There is a witness in my belly. It flows like a river. A witness in my belly. It shows me where to go. There is a witness in my belly. It flows like a river. A witness in my belly. It shows me where to go. A witness in my belly. It flows like a river. A witness in my belly. It shows me where to go. It shows me where to go.
It shows me where to go.
It shows me what to do.
It shows me what to do.
It shows me what to drop. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It shows me what to drop.
It signals me when it is time. Oh,
it shows me where to go.
There is a witness.
There's a witness in my belly.
It flows. Feel this witness, it's in my belly. It flows like a river. This witness, it's in my belly. It shows me where to go. That is, this witness is deep in my belly. It flows like a river. River flow, river flow, river flow, river flow, river flow, river flow. There is a witness.
There's a witness in my belly.
Ashaladi kabaya.
Flows like a river. There's a witness in my belly.
It shows me where to go.
It shows me where to go.
There is a witness.
Tells me where to go.
He tells me what to say and what not to say.
He shows me where to go.
He shows me where to go.
He shows me where to go.
You show me the path that I must follow. There is a witness.
Witness in my belly.
It flows.
It flows like a river. Witness in my belly. It shows me where to go.
A witness. Trust the witness in my belly. It flows. like a river. I trust the witness in my belly. The show. Come on, say, I trust the witness in my belly. Come on, sing, sing. Sing from the depth of your soul. Sing, sing it, sing it, sing it. Fellowship with the Holy Spirit. I trust it. I trust this witness. Say, I follow the witness in my belly. I follow the witness in my belly. I follow the witness. Can everybody in the house say, I trust the witness in my belly? Come on. It flows. Me where to live, oh, where to live, oh, yeah. It shows me where to stay every day. That is a witness, it flows. A witness in my belly. Ashalatila Besekiria. Shelekataba Sakatalaba Shababa. One more time. There is a witness. It flows. It shows me where to go. Oh,
it shows me where to go.
It shows me where to go. Oh,
it shows me where to go.
There is a witness.
There is a witness in my belly.
It flows.
It flows like a river.
A witness.
It shows me.
I trust the witness.
It flows like a river.
It shows me where to go.
Shows me where to go.
Say there is a witness.
Witness in my belly.
It flows.
It flows like a river. A witness in my belly.
Yeah.
It shows me where to go.
There is a witness.
There is a witness in my belly.
It flows.
It flows like a river.
Yeah. Say there is a witness.
There is a witness in my belly.
Ah.
It flows like a river. A witness in my belly.
It shows me
where to go.
It's God's plan for humanity. That witness in your belly is the solution. In Revelation 22, is that witness he was talking about? It's a witness of the Spirit. That's where life should be lived from. That witness. This is how men are made. Men are made in the presence of God. And he showed me a pure water of living water, clear as crystal. It's clear. It's clear as crystal. It's clear as crystal. And because that river is clear as crystal, that is why God wants us to also be clear as crystal. So that we can be one with that river. It's proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the next 3 minutes, you are going to hit some things. It's a quick walk. You are going to encounter. There are people God has chosen for tonight. You are going to jam things in the spirit. You will jam it. In the midst of the street of it, and on the either side of the river, was there the tree of life which bear 12 manner of fruits. Tomorrow is Friday, Abby. All right, tomorrow is going to be a night of joy. Tomorrow night, a night of joy. You are going to know the joy of the Lord. Don't think we are close, you know. There are beings here now. There are witnesses to what we have been sharing. And in the next few seconds, you are going to meet with them. There's someone here, you're going to experience an explosion of that river in your belly. That river there's going to be an explosion. And that will put you on a new pedestal. What is in you is going to heal the nations. What is in you is going to heal the nations. Authentic fire, authentic fire. Father, you made me know that we will receive the authentic fire. Thank you, my Father. You can close the scripture. The Lord wants to now minister to his people. Aradaba shaka taladiasa. Authentic fire, authentic fire. Come on, take something from Jesus. Grab something tonight. There is a witness. O rabaga zaka tala bashaka tala babababa. O shaka tola baragati abasya la basha. O rabaga zoko tolo bosha tala bariaga zaka tala basha. O rabaga zaka tala babababa basha. O rabasya. Amen. Your life is inside you. Your life is inside you. Your life is inside you. And it shall speak. Shall speak. And your life shall carry eternal relevance. The authentic fire of God will govern your life.
Amen.
Can you hold yourselves? Let me pray for you before I let you go. Father, I thank you for everyone. As hands are held together, let it be a tool for impartation.
Amen.
Let your voice in us, in our within, be louder.
Amen.
Let's be controlled by you.
Amen.
Cause us to fall in love with you anew, afresh.
Amen.
Cause us to live under your holy influence.
Amen.
Father, we bless you.
Thank you.
I call you blessed.
Amen.
I call you blessed.
Amen.
And you are healed of every infirmity.
Yes.
you shall encounter the care of God.
Amen.
You are blessed.
Amen.
You are blessed.
Amen.
In your generation, you are the example of blessing.
Amen.
In this generation, you are the example of blessing.
Amen.
This company is blessed.
Amen.
This company is blessed.
Amen.
This company is blessed.
Amen.
The Lord shall distinguish you.
Amen.
The Lord will use us as examples.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. The raw fire of God is in this house. The authentic fire of God is burning in your hearts. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I love you. We are going to burst into some life-changing encounters.
Yeah.